Judy Rubenstein interviewing Dr. Cyril Wecht at his office downtown on this June 12, 1996. Dr. Wecht, would you just tell us your name and your home address, and then we'll go on.
Cyril H. Wecht, 5420 Darlington Road, Squirrel Hill, Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Dr. Wecht, we'd like to start with some of your background history, like where you were born, who your parents were, and where they came from, and so forth. Could you give us a little bit of that background?
My parents were Nathan and Fanny Wecht, F-A-N-N-I-E. I was born at the West Penn Hospital in Pittsburgh, but at the time my father had a small grocery store in Bobtown, which is a coal mining community in South Fayette County, not far from the West Virginia border. And I think that they were there for somewhat less than the first year of my life, at which time the family moved to McKees Rocks, where my father had gotten another grocery store. And I lived in McKees Rocks through the second grade, at which time I was, I think I had just turned seven. And then we moved to the uptown area, a block from the Mercy Hospital. So that would have been around 1938 when I was 7 years old. And I continued in the third grade at Forbes Elementary School on Locust Street. It's now a big parking garage that belongs to Mercy Hospital. I went to Forbes School from the third through the seventh grade. It was at that time that they discontinued the seventh and eighth grades at Forbes School. Although I had gotten through my seventh, but was denied the wonderful opportunity and pleasure of graduating in the eighth grade from Forbes School. We then had to go elsewhere. Some kids went to Catholic schools, and most of us went to Fifth Avenue High School, which had a junior high school in place. So I started then at Fifth Avenue High School in the eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And was there through graduation, and I graduated in 1948 mm-hmm. from Fifth Avenue High School. At that time we lived, the store was on the corner of Marion and Locust Streets, one block from Mercy, and we lived in a couple of different places, usually within a block or two of the store. Most of the time on a street just below the bluff, below the Boulevard of the Allies, directly across the street from Mercy Hospital.
Okay, can we go back just a moment?
Yes.
You were born in Fayette County?
Well, as I say, that's where we lived. My actual birth took place in West Bend Hospital. My mother came in. But I lived in Fayette County, although obviously I have no recollection of that.
Yeah. Where did your parents come from?
My father came from Lithuania, from Vilna, as it was called then, and my mother came from Russia around Kiev, I think a small village outside Kiev.
Were they married when they got
here? No. They met here in Pittsburgh. And
So they lived in Pittsburgh.
Yes, my father went briefly to England. It was just kind of a touchstone with the intention always of coming directly on to the United States. We'll talk. I just had to get that.
That's all right.
Okay, go ahead.
Were telling me, just let me get, were born in 1931,
yes,
right?
Yes, March 20th, 1931.
March 20th. And your parents came and met here. Did they
in
come
Pittsburgh.
With your grandparents?
No. My father left as a young man. I think he was 18 or 19, mm-hmm. Just left by himself. And
your mother?
Touched briefly in Chicago, then in the States, and then came on to Pittsburgh, where there was a lunchman of his, and started work here. My mother had a couple of sisters but she traveled by herself also as a young woman. One sister lived in the Boston area, and one sister lived in the in Pittsburgh, and one sister lived in the New York area. But she, so she, I don't know, I'm not sure how that was decided, but she came and she lived with the sister here in Pittsburgh. They had a small store, I think, up on Vine Street in the Hill District.
So, and she left her parents in Europe too.
Yes, right. Yeah, they both left. She had brothers and parents whom she left, and then the younger sister came around the same shortly after. And my father left a brother and a sister and his parents in Europe.
Did your grandparents either side ever come?
No, no, no. They nobody ever left there after that. And as far as we were able to determine, except for my father's sister, who had then left after he and had gone on to Germany, where she met the man whom she married, a Latvian Jew, and they then emigrated to Israel, where they lived for many years. They're both dead now. Except for her, as far as we were able to determine, my father's parents and his brother and my mother's parents and brothers were all killed in the war. We don't know any of the details. We were never able to get any information.
No.
We tried in different ways, but we were unsuccessful.
You don't know if your dad was in correspondence with the family?
Well,
or
he had correspondence, and he visited with his parents in... he went over there in 1937, I think, 36 or 37. Mm-hmm. So he saw them, and it had correspondence, but then everything
changed
there afterwards.
Uh-huh. So your father had no brothers or sisters in America?
No, that's right. He only had the one brother and one sister.
Both.
And the sister,
went to
fortunately, had left Europe when she was still able to get, had left, well, Lithuania, and then on to Germany, and then had left Germany and gone on to Israel back in the 30s, early 30s, I guess it was.
And your mother had two sisters here?
Three sisters.
Three
Boston,
sisters here?
New York and Pittsburgh, and then a younger sister who came over shortly after my mother, and two brothers who never left.
Oh, I see. Were they close family?
Yes,
the three
very
sisters?
Close. Very, very close.
Yeah,
we remained close. Yeah.
You knew them and
oh yes,
because
we would vacation in the summer up at Connecticut, my cousins were like brothers to me because I was an only child, and one sister's son is an only child, and the others. So we were very close.
Are you in touch with
close
them now?
Oh, yes, yes. Very close to my cousins. Well, one. My aunts are all dead.
They are.
They're all dead. I have one cousin here in Pittsburgh, Blanche Garrick, G-A-R-R-I-C-K. It was her mother.
Was a sister.
Who was a sister. And it was... with her mother that my mother lived up until the time that she met and married my father.
Mm-hmm. When your father came, had he worked in Europe before he came? Did he have something that he
No, he was, he studied in the Talmud all day.
Did
That's
he?
What he
did. Oh,
he was a Talmudic scholar. And he just went, that was the great love of his life, the Talmud. He was forever quoting and discussing the Talmud. With people, and then you know he left obviously for you know the same kinds of reasons that most other people got out. There wasn't anything there. It was shortly after World War One that he left.
Mm-hmm. Had so when he came here and opened a grocery store. This
well,
was
no, he didn't open
new.
Up a grocery store first. He
I'm sorry.
Did a lot of other things first, as I recall. I remember telling me he bought and sold old gold, as it was referred to. He sold for a while frames, photographic frames, and then he was a huckster with a horse and a wagon for a short while, and then his first store was the one in Bobtown. It was a small store, things went really bad in the Depression coal mining area, and that's when he bought the store on Bouquet Street in McKees Rocks. Mm-hmm. And we were there.
How do you ever find Bobtown?
Yeah, that's a good question. You tell me someday, how did Jews find the towns?
Right.
Bobtown is as off the beaten track as others, but no more so. And I don't,
right.
Jews, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. And
it's a good chance he was traveling when he was selling things.
Probably, and something came to his attention that did not require much money to invest.
Right, right.
And
did your mother participate in the business?
Yeah, oh yes, my mother worked every
him?
Day. She usually would take off Sunday. But my mother worked full-time in the store in McKees Rocks, and then in the uptown Lower Hill area. And the store hours are very long, too. At the beginning, they were about 8 a.m. to close to midnight, and then they remained maybe a little bit 8:30 to 11:30, but they were days that went from morning all the way through into the evening. And we had a small kitchen behind the store where essentially we did most of our living. That's where my mother cooked. We ate all our meals, and that's where I practiced my violin 4 hours a day and 6 hours on Saturdays and Sundays. And then we always had a nice furnished apartment, but we had never bought a home because I guess they did not want to make an investment. We always had a woman who worked in the store a little bit, and then would take care of me when I was a child to get me home and sit
school.
With me and put me to bed until my mother came home and so on. So that was the story there, and we remained, my father remained in that store, let's see, until I was already in medical school. Although we moved, I was 20 years old, 21, going into my senior year of college when my father and mother bought a home on Whiteman Street in Squirrel Hill, 2136 Whiteman Street, but they continued with the store.
I see.
And my father...
the store was in the hill.
On corner Marion and Locust Street. 52 mm-hmm. Marion Street was the address.
Mm-hmm.
My father began then to sell home-type products. Ladies and women's clothing-type things.
Mm-hmm.
He would actually be like a middleman with the wholesalers on the avenue, Bernstein and Rosenberg,
right, right.
and this and that and so on. He would take customers down there, or he would take things out to them,
right,
and so
right.
on, that kind of business.
Right.
So we continued with the grocery store, but he felt that he wanted to move out
do
of the
more.
Grocery store. So he was beginning to do that, and they kept the store, as I recall, probably into about 19, I was probably about 25, 26, going into my senior year of medical school, which would have taken it up to about 1957, when they finally sold the store, and as I say, we'd already been living then in Squirrel Hill from 1952, and then my mother finally retired from the store business, and my father continued.
He did by himself.
Oh, he did, and he would go out in the station wagon every day, 5 days a week, I think sometimes on Saturday, but he had a, it was more obviously at his own pace.
Mm-hmm.
And generally not evenings or anything like that. So it was a, a semi-retirement.
Probably also had a group of other guys that he knew, because a lot of the Jewish men did this kind
yes,
of work.
Yes, yes,
so.
He did. But he was always, he always just functioned with himself.
Right.
He was not with any group or anything. But
right.
yeah, he knew some of them. what my father had always liked to do, I remember as a child, was to meet with Jewish merchants in the late evening. Weinstein's or Kaplan's on Fifth Avenue, and then later Lample's on Center Avenue became the hot spot.
Yeah,
so he would go up there at 11:30 at night. He closed the store and he would sit.
Enjoy.
And my father did not drink, nor do I. And they would sit, they would have coffee, and they would come home at 2 o'clock in the morning. In fact, that was a frequent source of minor fleeting contention in the morning. Who was going to open up the store? My father was very tired. He'd been working. And he got in at 2:30, and he wanted to sleep. I remember those kinds of discussions in the morning about opening up the store. Yeah, right.
Tell me, when your family moved, like from Bobtown to wherever the next place was, McKees Rocks, was it supposedly an improvement, or was it a poor economic? The economic system had gone down in Bobtown. What was?
I believe both. As I understood it, things were bad in Bobtown because of the depression.
Miners.
But of course, that didn't mean that things were great in McKees Rocks.
Right.
But
what
I was told, the store
there,
was a little bit bigger.
I see.
And began to sell fresh meats and so on and so forth. I remember things being delivered. And so on. So it was both a modest step upward, still a local mom and pop grocery
right.
store.
And when they got to Lower Hill?
Lower Hill, again, a little upgrade, but still a very mom and pop local grocery store with fresh meats and so on. And, you know, cash and credit. We always had the little slips of paper I remember hanging on the wall behind the cash register. And you just write down, you know, Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Smith and so on and so forth. Right, exactly. And that was the way it went, yeah.
Was Bobtown near Uniontown?
Bobtown is south of Uniontown toward the West Virginia border in Fayette County. It's still there. In fact, I've met a couple people. I do the coroner's cases for Fayette County, and I've been down to testify a few times in Uniontown at the courthouse, and a couple times people have come up to me. In fact, one guy said he even remembered, and I... I hoped that I would get down there, you know, sometime. But nobody's going to be around, I'm sure.
But that says Uniontown was.
Uniontown. Sure, that's right. There were Jewish families there. I don't know how many, but that's obviously where my parents were. Although they had close friends who remained their closest friends in Pittsburgh, but that was a whole Sunday journey.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine what the roads must have been like. And my father was not the fastest driver. I make up for that. I've been making up for my father's slow driving ever since I began to drive. I figure, you know, if I average 70 miles an hour, that compensates for his 30 miles
right.
an hour during his lifetime. And God will average us out at 55.
Right.
I can imagine that must have been a whole day trip. I guess
right.
I was sleeping all the time.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But it had to be aggravation. But I imagine there were some. There were some Jewish families. I remember he had some friends in Uniontown and Connellsville. He had some. There was some Jewish friends that were very close in later years that came to visit. But the closest friends were by that time in Pittsburgh, and they had moved to Oakland and East Liberty and Squirrel Hill. The Wangers. Morris and Dora Wanger, they were the parents of Lillian Ryef. Lillian was divorced then from Arnold Ryef.
Right.
Morris, Abe and Sonia Pearl, P-E-A-R-L, and Harry and Hannah Adler, Harry and Bessie Sherman, Jack and Sylvia, I can't remember her maiden name, Goldstein, I think, Joseph, Sylvia Joseph, her brother, was a hairdresser in town, Joseph. Those are the people I remember. And Saul and Esther Bond. Saul Bond was Dora Wanger's brother. They were the close group for many, many years. Wangers, Bonds, Pearls, Adlers, Shermans, and they...
All met here.
Yes, all here in Pittsburgh, right, yeah, at different times.
You said that your father was a Talmudic scholar, interested.
Yeah, well, you know, up until that age. I mean, obviously, yeah. he stopped that kind of studying at the age of 18, so
right.
It's not like he... He was a scholar in the
reading.
Sense that his great interest and all of the learning that he had had up until that time in his life was focused around the Talmud.
So he came from an Orthodox family?
Yes, they were Orthodox.
Did your parents practice Orthodox?
No, my parents were not. My father never ate pork products or shellfish. But that was a matter of tradition and taste and in his mind.
Yes.
Had nothing to do with religion.
He didn't care.
And my mother, you know, if I wanted a ham sandwich or bacon.
Was all right.
I never was then. I mean, pork chops were there too. It really wasn't a favorite.
Right.
Especially since I could always have veal chops and steak. My father could eat steak 7 days a week. On Friday, my mother made the traditional Jewish dinner. My mother really was a great cook, not just because she was my mother, but everybody has always said that. She was the number one cook, and she had this knack of being able to pick up things from others in our neighborhood who are mostly Irish and Italian women, and my mother became a great Italian cook. She could make wonderful pasta and brajol and stuffed rigatoni that she just picked up from the Italian women. But she made wonderful things, things that I don't see anymore. Grievous, Friday night, I remember
out.
The Grievous. And forget Grievous, that's
yeah,
all
right.
gone, right? And
they're too
and
good.
Of course, the gefilte fish and the chopped liver and the whole business. So that was always roasted chicken. So my mother would make, you know, anything for me. In those days, people did not eat fish, you know, very
right,
much,
right.
And there wasn't, you know, fresh fish around. I like steak too. I wouldn't have minded by my mother, but you know, roast beef and steak. But with the meat there, it was not
right,
a problem.
Right.
And it was amazing what my mother could cook. This was, you got to understand this. This was a kitchen that was no more than half the size of this room, literally, and that is perhaps. An overly gracious estimate, no more than half the size of the room we're now sitting in, which is a, you know, a good size office, but not immense. And that's where she would do the cooking. And in later years, when I went to Pitt, I could pop in and would do it. I guess it wasn't thoughtful of me at the time, but because my mother never minded, I would just pop in with a friend or a fraternity brother, sometimes two or three. And my mother would cook up a meal there, you know, in a half an hour,
nothing.
It was like nothing to it, exactly. Of course, as I say, the meat was there,
yeah, right.
And the food products were there. But, you know, there's a tiny kitchen with just a little stove and so on. And that's where I sat then under my father's watchful eye, and I practiced the violin from the time I was, I guess about 9 or 10. It's been taking violin lessons locally from a very nice Italian man in the neighborhood. Then my father heard about Melita Barjanski, M-E-L-I-T-T-A, B-A-R-J-A-N-S-K-Y, who had come from Russia. She had studied with Leopold Auer, A-U-E-R,
oh,
who was
really?
The teacher of Yasha Heifetz and Misha Elman and Nathan Milstein. And she... came from a very prominent Jewish family, one of the few Jewish families that was permitted to live in St. Petersburg in those days because of they were wealthy, and then she became a student of Leopold Auer, and she went to Paris where she was a protege and an assistant to Lucien Capet, C-A-P-E-T, who was one of the world's great violinists, not so well known in this country because he didn't travel to the U.S.
Right.
And then she came to the United States as a widow. So my father somehow heard about her, and I don't remember how. And then I started with her, and that's when it got serious. moved up to 4 lessons a week, 4 hours a day, and 6 on Saturdays and Sundays. And I practiced in that little kitchen, and the warm months, I would drink, without exaggeration, anywhere from 6 to 10 Coca-Colas in the night.
Only
a teenage boy.
You didn't have your air conditioning in those rooms.
No air conditioning, and the heat, I guess, was just from the stove.
Yes.
As I say, the houses were always the rented. We would have a half of a double or a duplex. We always had very nice, but we just weren't there very much. Because I did my practicing. My father wanted to make sure that I practiced, and that practicing had to be done there in the back
did
of the store.
Did you ever consider going professionally?
Well,
as a
I must tell you, I don't mean to boast, but I was quite accomplished. I was concertmaster through the high school orchestra for 4 or 5 years. I was concertmaster through the University of Pittsburgh, and all the years I was there, I was concertmaster of the All-City Orchestra for several years. I was in the All-State Orchestra. When I was already 13 or 14, I was performing solos as the entertainment or part of the entertainment for Jewish organizations. I don't remember which they were. Some of the might have been Pioneer Women or Hadassah or whatever, at the YMHA and at the Carnegie Music Hall, and so on. I played all of the major concertos: Beethoven, Brahms, Lalo, Symphony Espanol, Mozart. I Bruch, Mendelssohn. I was good.
Did you like it?
My father. I began to like it. Then once you become good, you then are, everybody tells you you're good, and you can be yourself, begin to hear melodies and so on. And then you have these important positions in the orchestras, et cetera. Sure, then that, but if it hadn't been, the answer to your question is, did I like it enough at the beginning that I would have done it on my own? The answer is no.
Okay.
If it weren't for my father, there's no way that I would have continued.
Was he musically inclined?
Only through his taste. He had never played any instrument, but he loved the classical music, and primarily the violin. That was the major thing. My mother liked music, but not anywhere to the degree that my father did, and she. Would sometimes help me escape a little bit here and there if my father went for a nap to the house or something like that,
to give
me a break. An interesting thing about my violin playing and my schooling, we played ball in the streets. We didn't have playgrounds. We were we might have even been more deprived in that respect in the Hill District. I don't know. In those days, parents did not act in militant fashion and so on. We literally had no playgrounds. There was a parking lot. Well, the Irene Coffin Settlement was up on the hill, which was quite a schlep. We played our basketball there,
and we
walked. Nobody had cars. Well, there were a couple of cars, but the parents weren't going to drive their kids. We walked. It was the dead of winter. The kids, we walked up Dinwiddie Street. I remember like it was yesterday. And when you were a little kid, Dinwiddie Street looks like Mount Everest. We walked and played basketball. But we had no place for football, basketball, baseball, or softball. There were a couple of parking lots that we could get into sometimes on weekends till we were kicked out. A couple of horrible little lot that was hilly and gravelly and so on. But in any event, we played on the streets. My father did not mind that, and he did not mind me playing basketball and baseball and softball as he understood the games. But he was opposed, would not let me play football, so I had to do that on the sneak. And I did it. I played football for 3 years at Fifth Avenue High School, as well as basketball. And my mother would launder the uniforms. Unfortunately, my father did not know a great deal about sports. So for him, basketball, football, baseball, this uniform, that uniform, and so on. And my mother was great. In that sense, one could pull the wool over my father's eyes on those kinds of things. So I would practice and come home, and then the basketball practice, football practice, or then the games. And I'd usually get home then about 6, have my dinner, and then I would practice. It was 6:30 to 10:30. That was pretty much were the fixed hours. And that's the way it went for all of those years. My father would have wanted me to be a violinist, I'm sure, and I might possibly have continued, except there was one thing that he, and only one thing, that he wanted me to be more, and that was a doctor. So that was preordained. And I knew from the time, whatever, I was 3 or whatever, that I was going to be a doctor. And as an only child, and I was an obedient child for the most part, I did some things that my parents didn't know about, of course, like swimming in the Monongahela River, climbing down the bluff. That was a real challenge. You weren't accepted in the gang until you climbed down from the Boulevard of the Allies. There was no parkway, of course. You climbed down, and that was, in those days, to us at that time, we felt like we were scaling a major mountain. And then going to that filthy river, this was before Lawrence and Melvin cleaned up Pittsburgh. You could imagine what that river